were just talking about his working, and you're term limited. You're done soon.
16 months or so, Christmas of 2012.
What are you going to do?
I have absolutely no idea. I'm looking. I'm going to get my resume out probably next summer.
We could find something for you to do around here, I think.
I'll serve coffee.
Now, if you ran for state senator, you'd end up going against one of your buddies, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, and I won't run against Rick Jones. Mm-hmm. Rick is a good friend. I think he's a great senator right now. And Clinton County and the redistricting will be with Shiawassee County mm-hmm. and Eaton County.
Now, if he decided to do something else, something you consider?
The possibility then would definitely open up, and we mm-hmm. would take a serious look at it.
When's the last time the state House and the state Senate had a raise?
Boy, that's before my time. My understanding, Tony, is when term limits was voted in, representatives received a raise back in the late 1990s, roughly 2000. We have not received a raise since then, and starting January of this year, we received a 10% pay cut. So a state representative's salary is $72,000 a year.
Any more cuts coming up, not only from the salary perspective, but from the budgets?
Well, and that's what it's going to be hurting is former Speaker of the House, Andy Dillon, cut office allotments for all staffs by 5%. Speaker Bolger cut office allotments an additional 7-8% this past January, and then an additional 13% cut was just announced. So there'll be we've gone from like $100,000 down to about $77,000-$78,000. That includes all salaries, postings, mailings, stationery, everything.
So when do you think that new cut will take effect?
January 1st.
Man, we're all tightening the belt,
A lot.
Tell me about a bill that I know you're very interested in, 4791.
4791 would implement an asset test from a statutory perspective. Right now, it's an administrative decision Department of Human Services makes. And an asset test is something the federal government allows when somebody is receiving food stamps. And it's kind of based on a situation where a gentleman in Bay City won the lottery. And if you don't use an asset test, they simply look at your monthly income only. And when he received just one lump check of well over $1 million, that did not go into consideration then when it came to him receiving food stamps. And he continued to collect food stamps, and actually he was proud of it and made it very public that he was going to continue to collect food stamps despite the fact that he won the lottery.
You know, when I see things like that, when I see stories, an excerpt from former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick talking about how everyone knew about the scam of getting food stamps when you're a college student, that brings back memories as someone who lived with a single parent. I remember for a time me and my mom were living out of the car, and this food stamps kept us going for a little bit. But when you see generations living on funding for food stamps and other social programs, that just doesn't seem right.
And I think the emphasis here is those people who really need it, Tony, should receive the food stamps. I'm glad to see that the director of Human Services, Maura Corrigan, has done a complete audit. And two things came out. One, at one time, over 20,000 college kids were receiving food stamps, and she has changed that. Now there's fewer than 4,000 kids receiving food stamps. And we could find no legal basis for the distribution of food stamps to those college kids that are no longer on it. That saves taxpayers $75 million a year. Another audit just revealed well over $20 million of food stamps going to people who are receiving food stamps from not just Michigan but other states, which is also illegal. So they will now then be cut off from receiving food stamps.
When I see how many folks are getting state from the help from the state, and it's been a long period mm-hmm. of time, that 4-year limit seems to make sense. There's jobs out there. Now, it may not be what we want, but I think a lot of us would do whatever it took to support our families, whether it's working at McDonald's or a factory job or whatever. A lot of folks still don't do that.
And I think, Tony, obviously your background and your upbringing, you know, you'll do whatever it takes to make sure there's food on the table. Those people that know me in DeWitt, not only did I have a job in the private sector working as vice president of a human resource company, but on weekends and oftentimes in the evenings, I painted houses and commercial properties. And so I was working 7 days a week trying to get two kids through school and then also through college and then paying for a couple weddings that were coming up. And so it was a constant whatever I had to do to pay the bills and keep, you know, the creditors away.
Now, you're going to be on a panel talking about mass transit. Talk about that.
The Mass Transit Association is getting together actually today and tomorrow, looking at the needs for mass transit and the funding formula for transit, and then also how much money they get out of the transportation dollars, the money that you pay at the pump, that 18 cents a gallon that goes into roads, about $300 million, goes to transportation authorities throughout the state of Michigan. They're looking for more money, just like the road builders are, and also railroads are looking for more money also.
Well, when we talk about railroads, you and I talked about over the break, or during the break here, I've talked to several farmers, and they're really frustrated that the railroad infrastructure has just been let go and abandoned from their perspective, because they think the railroad system basically is there, just needs to be upgraded, but it's faster, it's cheaper, and it's not as big a hassle as trucking goods.
A lesson I've learned in being on transportation the last 3 years is how important railroads are, not just to farming, but to manufacturing and to mining. If you're in the Upper Peninsula, I was in Representative Hookie's district in Ontonagon about a month ago, and there's the intent to create 400 direct, well-paid mining jobs, all union jobs, plus maybe another 300 to 400 indirect jobs. But what's needed are rails and an increase to a Class A road for a couple roads that are near the mine.
Are the railroaders and the truckers kind of battling for those dollars?
Not really. It's more of an economic development piece, and the railroads are providing most of that money, where when it comes to roads, the state provides most of that money. So they're not really fighting for it, but both are key pieces. Everything moves by truck at some point in time. When the railroad stops, it gets off and it's put on a truck, and then it's moved to wherever the facility is.
Does the state need to do more to help the railroads?
I think we need to do more to help both roads and the railroad industry. Yes.
All right. Anything else you're going to be working on this week?
No, this morning the Senate Bill 8-9 and the Urban Cooperation Act, and then the mass transit. And transit is something that's very important, I think, to some of the larger cities.
All right. He is Representative Paul Opsomer. If people want to contact you, how do they get in touch?
The office phone number is 517-373-1778.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.